time now for the Voice of the Land on the Big Play Network with your hosts, Kevin Arnold and Always Positive Jay.
Well, that was an interesting game down in Houston, Texas, this afternoon for the Cleveland Browns. But, hey, they got a win. When they needed to get a win, you had to beat a bad team, and they did exactly that. And we're here to talk about it right here on your Browns postgame show on the Big Play Network. This is the Voice of the Land. We are brought to you by Vector Technical. They'll get the right person in the right job the first time. And, of course, partnered with LPV Productions. I am Kevin Arnold. Across the table, it is Always Positive Jay. Somewhere in the stratosphere, audio, our producer extraordinaire. His humanoid name is Peter Tellett, but what Jarvis was to Iron Man, audio is to the Voice of the Land. He is here as well, and we are joined by a special guest tonight. Going to kind of have a three-person host show tonight. We're really looking forward to it. Bree Alyssa joining us as well. Bree, thank you so much for joining the Voice of the Land here tonight.
Happy to be here.
And let's just jump right in. I know that there's some shout outs and stuff to give. We'll get to that later on throughout the show, Jay. But Browns get the win 27-14. Watson's first game as the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns after trading for him back in March, serving his 11 game suspension, being paid $230 million fully guaranteed. Looked rusty like everybody thought he would. It's been 700 days since Deshaun Watson took an actual snap. Now, I know he played in the preseason. That game speed is nowhere near what it is in the regular season, especially 11 games in when everybody's in mid-season to late-season form in the NFL. It is very difficult to catch up, and he's going to have to play catch-up in some big games coming up. But it was the defense and the special teams two areas of this Browns team that we have criticized heavily on this show and so many other places. You get a punt return touchdown from Donovan Peoples-Jones. You get a fumble recovery touchdown from Denzel Ward. You get a pick six from Tony Fields, of all people. And so the defense, the special teams pick up Deshaun Watson and the offense, who don't really score this afternoon. Of course, there were a few field goals they were able to generate, but hey, that's off the leg of Cade York. That's not the offense finishing out the drive. Bree, I'm actually going to start with you. Your thoughts on the game. We'll kind of look at it from a football standpoint, of course. Rusty offense, but hey, defense and special teams showed up.
I said, like, coming into this that he was going to be rusty his first game. I mean, he really couldn't have had a better starting game against a shitty team against the Texans. Because it gave him the cushion to make those mistakes. You knew he was going to be sloppy passing. You knew he wasn't going to be able to react as fastly as or as quickly as he did when he played for Houston, just because he hasn't seen an actual football field in, what, 700 days it was?
Yeah. 700 days, so, yes.
I don't think anybody should be surprised. If anybody's surprised, I'd question their football knowledge. But at the end of the day, we got the win. And really, that's all that matters.
As they say, a win's a win's a win.
However, by any means necessary, we're still in the hunt. I hate saying that because it's the Browns and we're never truly in the hunt. But on paper, we are still in the hunt. So
mathematically not eliminated yet. We do have to make sure we say that.
We are still there.
Oh, last week when they showed the In the Hunt logo with all like the teams and ours is at the very bottom, I'm like, are you doing this to torture me? Like, what are you doing here, guys?
Somebody sent me something last week, and I was like, there's a 4% chance. I was like, so there's a chance.
What's all this one in a million talk?
Hey. So you're saying there's a chance.
Let's get to, you know, Dumb and Dumber is another way to describe some of the stuff we've seen from the Browns, not just this season, but other seasons as well. So yeah. perfect tie-in. And Jay,
yeah.
There's been plenty of people talking about how, like, they just had to get – Watson was going to be rusty. I think we've mentioned that as well. And the Browns just had to go down to Houston and get a win against a bad team. Didn't matter if it was 10-3 or, you know, 17-10, whatever it was, they needed to come out on top and get another win to stack another one before going into two tough AFC North teams. You can't really criticize with the offense being bad if everybody said it was going to be rusty and the team did what they were supposed to do. So you really can't criticize from a football standpoint.
No, you really can't. I mean, like she said it best. You went in there and you got to win no matter what. The defense picked you up. Special teams picked you up. Like everyone, we've been saying it's all show. He's rusty, dude. Like, balls are going to thrown into the ground for a reason. This guy, I mean, as a person, I'm, you know, not the fan of him, but as a player, he's a phenomenal player. He will get better. And, I mean, that first drive, he had a strike to Schwartz, who got caught from behind and fumbled. And then there was a couple other penalties. Like, it'll all catch up to him eventually, hopefully. I mean, you're paying him a lot of money. God, I hope he doesn't look like that forever.
Yeah, you don't want to see a $230 million quarterback throwing interceptions in the red zone into the end zone in a couple seasons, or by next year, even at the end of this year, once he knocks that rust off. That excuse is only going to last so long with how much talent Deshaun Watson had before all of this happened. I would describe today's game, and I mean this seriously, and I don't mean this is not to take light of any situation. I kind of saw this Browns game as the perfect scenario for all Browns fans, because there are a lot of Browns fans still conflicted. There are a lot of Browns fans that are strictly looking at it from a football standpoint. You have the best quarterback probably this team has had since Bernie on paper from what we've seen talent-wise in the past. And came out, looked rusty. The team won in spite of that. Every other phase of this team scored. It wasn't Deshaun Watson scoring those touchdowns. But like, so the people that are conflicted and maybe having difficulties, like, I want to root for Nick Chubb. And this is, I fit into this category. I want to root for guys like Nick Chubb. I want to root for guys like Myles Garrett and some of these other guys. Donovan Peoples-Jones, a sixth-round pick who is now he's scratching and clawing and making plays, showing you what kind of athleticism he wasn't or wasn't utilized at that team up north, at that school up north. But then again, you have the $230 million quarterback as the face. And again, football-wise, he will be great. But there is a lot of other stuff that surrounds him, and it's not going away. It's just not going away at all. So it's very difficult to see him as the face of this franchise. But him not scoring today kind of, you know, helped the people that are rooting for these other players still feel that Browns energy. And the people that are rooting for him and rooting for the Browns and only looking at it from a football standpoint, they're saying it can't be any worse moving forward. He knocked the rust off, so now, you know, you did it against a bad team, so now as you get into a game against the Bengals, you can start to see more and more of that greatness that Deshaun Watson possesses from a football standpoint.
Well put. I mean, he had a play today where you could see the flash of what Deshaun Watson's. It looked like they had him sacked, and he spun out of it. Yeah, and then I was like, oh, this dude's about to launch it deep. And I don't even remember what happened. I don't think we completed the play or anything, but it's just that's what he's going to bring. Like, plus
he has the ability to extend plays.
Exactly.
He extends plays with his legs. It's always been his thing. Even with a terrible O-line with the Texans, even with no weapons, hardly any weapons with the Texans, he's still extended. He's still put up numbers. So behind a healthy Browns O-line, he can be great. He has Coop. He has DBJ. He has Njoku when he's healthy. Like, those targets are something that he's never played with. Mm-hmm. So from a football standpoint, it's great. It's anybody who's strictly focusing on football can't deny that he's an upgrade to our roster from last year. If there's a couple of those throws today that if he hits them in the numbers, it's easy touchdown. He threw it in the dirt. It happens. Anybody who expected him to come out singing is just silly at this point. I don't know.
And it's so different when you see these videos of him in his first like full week of practice preparing as a starter. And I know that some of the media took some flack because they're showing Anthony Schwartz drop and some of these receivers drop or some bad throws from Deshaun Watson. But I mean, we saw more of that today, but he's also throwing against air in practice versus now throwing against 11 other defenders. Yes, the Houston Texans are the worst NFL team, but those are still NFL players with professional level talent. There's only 32 teams that some of these guys can go to when they come out of college. Those guys earn their way to the NFL. They are still professionals. So you got receivers that are trying to run crisp routes against them, and a guy that's probably a half a step to a full step behind getting them the football. All of that offensively was bound to happen.
I mean, we also even hit on the fact that he's literally playing in Houston, like his first game. There's a lot of emotion in this sport. It's so much more emotion than people even realize, I think, a lot of time. And you're going back to where all this stuff happened, where you used to play, where you started your career. That's going to be a huge factor in the game on top of the fact, like we said, he hasn't played in 700 days. So we'll see where he goes. All we got to hope is each week he keeps getting a little better, a little better, a little better. And if we keep stringing wins together, maybe we can sneak into these playoffs this year. But I'm more hoping just for growth from the quarterback position myself.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, you want growth from the quarterback position. But, I mean, the defense, last couple weeks has been pretty good. I mean, you do it against the mm-hmm. GOAT. You start it there. You take everything with a grain of salt being against Houston, but you did what you're supposed to do. Do we think that the defense is finding what they were last year, what they were supposed to be this year? Are they finding some sort of sense of that aggression, that energy, and that strong defense that we all expected to see this year? Bree?
I hope so. I can't watch another couple weeks of, like, the first 12 weeks of the season. That was, or I wouldn't even say 12 weeks because they did well week 12, but the first 8 or 9 games of this year were god awful. And I'm a very vocal Joe Woods critic. I wanted him gone 2 years ago, and I gave him the benefit of the doubt last year, and it's been the same thing. I understand that they can be a second half of the season defensive team, but I want to see it all year. I don't want the inconsistency that we seem to always have on special teams and defense. They turn it on and off for no rhyme or reason. Like, there's just no reason for Denzel Ward to be as bad as he has been this year. He's declined so much in, like, the past year and a half, and same. I'm a Buckeye fan, so
Newsom,
like,
too.
It hurts my heart to say that, but he's been trash this year. He's misreading assignments, he's not following assignments, he's, for whatever reason, none of these guys can tackle. I can't even think of a good tackle that any of our safeties have done this year. MJ Emerson has been a light, and I will praise him to the end of the year, but he's been terrible. Ward's been awful. And they just can't tackle. Like, these are little kids. Like, I've seen little kids tackle better than this, and I just can't understand.
Or get turnovers.
Why.
Turnovers was the thing today. We got a bunch of those finally. It's like, oh my God, is that an interception? I forgot what those were. Like, oh, beautiful thing to see that those again.
That fumble recovery from Ward was hilarious to me. I feel like for a second he was confused.
Yeah.
Like, he saw the ball. Like, if you rewatch it, he saw the ball and, like, hesitated.
He's like, oh, man, I should probably go get that.
Yeah, like is this a ball?
I love the one, the tight end on the what was that, first play of the game, and it popped up. I'm like, please tell me that stayed in. I don't know why. I absolutely love plays like that.
Today's game was weird. That is
to say the least.
Football game I've ever watched. I've never seen anything like that.
But we typically say with the Browns, we've never seen anything like that. If there's any team that's going to bring that out and show you something you've never seen, and not from the best of ways in the NFL, it is still going to be the Cleveland Browns. At least they got that going for them. They're always going to give you something you've never seen before.
When they made that media insert for the Stranger Things this year, they were so dead on, they don't even realize it.
Oh,
like,
man.
The Browns are the Stranger Things. They are the team of the
so
upside
nice
down.
It was so nice to see, like, Browns-type things happen to another NFL team today.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you how happy that made me. I was laughing a good portion of that game.
Jay, you said Stranger Things. I'm pretty sure that game today was played in the upside down.
Oh, for sure.
Completely in the upside down. I don't know. But, again, the Browns got the win. What, they're 5-7 now. So they've continued to give themselves a chance.
I mean,
Bengals are playing right now. They're playing one of the biggest games that we're going to see all year. The rematch of the AFC Championship game. It was 24-20. I think the last time we were able to watch it before we had to come on the show. Where are we at right now, Jay?
24-27 with 2:55 to go. Bengals driving
and leading 27-24. So trying to keep the lead, and they are continuing to go down the field. So, Bengals have the Chiefs number. I know a lot of people are going to say this week, the Browns have the Bengals number and Joe Burrow. And the more you say that, the more the badass Joe Burrow's
going to be. Every time someone says that,
at some point he's
going
to get you, and it's going to be bad.
Let's not bring that up.
At some point he's going to piss him off to the point where he's like, I'm winning this game by any means.
He's going to end up throwing like 600 yards against us one game, like 7 touchdowns, break all the records ever, and be like, see, I knew it.
You should
just shut up and kept it quiet.
With our secondary, he could do it. And he's got Chase back, so I was kind of hoping he'd be gone for another 2 weeks, but...
That's my fantasy wide receiver. I wanted him back so bad. I like traded for him, and then a week later he gets hurt. I'm like, yeah, be kidding me.
He is my. I did start him today, but my backup to him is Higgins.
Well, you know, you got the.
You got the better backup because I got Boyd, and he hasn't done anything for me.
Yeah, Higgins seems to be taking on that second tier role behind Chase, and was a big play for the Bengals while Chase was out.
I actually wanted the Browns to draft him out of Clemson. I loved him in Clemson. I hate Clemson, but he's a beast.
I never thought I'd think about this question, but who would you rather see put on Chase next week, MJ Emerson or Denzel Ward?
I'd like to see Emerson on Higgins because he's the bigger receiver.
That's true. That's true.
And Chase is – I mean, Denzel Ward has always done pretty good against Chase.
Yeah.
That's true.
So the defensive backfield, I think, is going to be the key. So we'll see what we talk about next week. But, hey, Browns won. Yes, we're the Browns postgame show. We're only doing one segment because we got a lot more to get to. You are tuned in to The Voice of the Land. We are going to switch gears to the Cavaliers not having the best of nights shooting in New York. We'll check on that score on the other side and kind of look at the ebbs and flows. Really good shooting at home. Not so much on the road. We're only down by
3.5.
All right, 3.5. What did I say before we came on here?
They start shooting good when we start talking, man.
Well, and I also said I pulled an Austin Carr where he's always saying like, "Well, you got to get it down to 10 points by 5." I said you got to be a single digit deficit by halftime, even shooting as bad as you have, and it would be a good sign. So we'll talk about what's gotten them to this point in this game, but also. This season so far, we'll get Bree's thoughts on the Cavs and a lot more to get to right here on The Voice of Land on the Big Play Network.
Whether you're looking to hire new talent or start a new career, Vector Technical has you covered. Vector Technical is a 28-year-old staffing firm that has helped thousands of job seekers advance in their career with reputable partners throughout Northeastern Ohio. Vector Technical is more than just a temp agency. With an above average hire in rate of 1 in 4 candidates, Vector works hard to connect the right person with the right opportunity the first time. Vector Technical hires for skilled manufacturing and light industrial work and is sure to have a career that you've been looking for. To learn more, visit our website at www.vectortechnicalinc.com.
Welcome back to The Voice of the Land. Just got done talking about the Browns win 27-14 right here on your Browns post-game show on the Big Play Network. This is The Voice of the Land. Kevin Arnold, always positive. Jay, audio producer extraordinaire, and we are joined by Bree Alyssa here tonight. But we got a lot to kind of get into. It's more of a smorgasbord, you could say, of topics here tonight. We don't need to always...
Hey, when you're from Cleveland, all the teams are good, right?
All the teams are good, except the team of the sport that was invented like an hour down the road that seems to just have like that one spectacular year and then we go through many years, whatever. Hopefully now that the official, you know, franchise quarterback has gotten knocked the rust off and he's playing, hopefully now going into the end of the year and into next year, we start to see that more consistent change to a winning football team. We'll see what this team looks like going into Cincinnati next week, who is leading against Kansas City right now, but the Cavaliers are trailing 46-43. Did I see that score right on your phone across the way? Yep. I don't know how I saw that so far.
That was quick,
too.
It was literally on there for like 1 second. He's like 43. I'm like, wow, man.
They don't call me a professional. I put professional in quotes for nothing.
When they say they, it's me.
Yeah, it's just you. It's just you, Jay. But Cavs trailing 46-43. They were shooting 4 of 18 at one point tonight, 1 of 8 from three, and it was 19% from the floor. I don't know. They haven't seemed to shoot well the last few road games, but at home they're shooting lights out. And you see that typical Cavalanche where they just put buckets in, bucket after bucket after bucket, and get these leads. I think it's crucial that they're playing good defense, hold the team under 50 at halftime, and You were trailing by 18 at one point in this game. You're down 3 at halftime. I think that's huge. Bree, what have you seen? What have you liked from this team? We were both watching the game and had to turn our sound down before the game started. What have you liked about this Cavs team to start the year?
I still have it going away, phone. so if I keep glancing over, that's why.
We tend to do the same thing.
They're a fun team. I mean, what else can you say? The way Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell have just molded into this two-headed monster that just moves the ball. Like, I love watching the ball movement on the Cavs because it's next level when those two are on their floor. And when you have a healthy Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, it's fun to watch. And you can tell that these guys just love playing basketball. They love just playing with each other. I mean, they've struggled on the away games. That's going to happen, especially having as young as a roster as we do. I feel like you should almost expect them to struggle a little bit during the away games. But they always seem to find a way to pick each other up. And like I said, it's just fun. It's fun basketball to watch.
The big difference.
Donovan Mitchell was the perfect addition to this team. Yes. Like, I cannot think of another person that would have fit as nicely as he has.
The big difference, I think, from like the LeBron era, we were going on championship runs, but it was just so much drama all the time and cryptic tweets and stuff. Like, this team is the complete opposite of that. It's not clicky like that team was. There's no cryptic tweets. They're all having fun. And like you said, they're just a blast to watch. And Donovan Mitchell has just gelled right in with these guys pretty much seamlessly.
Well, and you guys bring up a great point about how they've kind of gelled and enjoyed playing together so early on. And they haven't even scratched the surface of what they can do together in terms of ball movement, how Garland can play off of Mitchell, being able to get Ricky Rubio back to have him come in and spell instead of, you know, Garland's got to sit down, Mitchell stays on the floor, then Mitchell gets his rest, Garland's got to come back. If you can have that point guard leading the second unit without having to rely on those guys, maybe only getting a minute here of rest, a minute there, that is going to make them more dangerous going into the playoffs because they can get a little bit more rest. You can trust the guy that's leading the offense on the floor. You don't have to put one of those two out there with the second unit to make sure the offense at least still moves, the ball movement's there. Defensively, I think that they've taken on an identity. And the difference between this era with having a star in Donovan Mitchell and the era of LeBron is when LeBron originally came and was drafted, there was nothing here.
Oh, God.
I remember as a kid sitting...
Sasha Pavlovich, dude. That's all I'll say. Like, oh, man.
Yeah, that was rough.
Well, and I'm going to be at the Laker game on Tuesday, but my wife, Janet, got tickets for us for Christmas, kind of an early gift. We're going to be sitting all the way at the top because it's going to be a full arena because basketball is fun. But I remember sitting in that arena when it was Gund Arena and it was blue seats, these light blue seats, not the maroon, not the wine-colored seats that they have now, still having to sit at the top because that's what we could afford. Only maybe 9,000, 8,000 people in the arena, and we're only just winning 19, 20 games. There was nothing established. Then LeBron comes, you get a lot of talent, you get a lot of notoriety. He leaves, comes back, you make all these trades, you have that talent just there, but it's just for that time. The Cavs have done this right to build it up and then bring in a star that's willing to fit into what they're trying to do and what JB is trying to do.
The way this built this roster reminds me of the Thunder, when they at one point had Harden, Westbrook, Durant, and whoever's playing center at the time, I can't think of his name right now, but this team, if they could keep them all together and let them all grow together, like, oh my God, the possibilities are endless for this team.
The only thing I don't want them to be like the Thunder with is to...
Yeah, I don't want to break them up like that. Let's not trade our heart in and let's keep these all together.
It's not even the trades. It's the, you know, you get to the doorstep and you never break through. Like,
right.
And I think that was the biggest thing with Durant. When he ended up going to Golden State, he ended up being the fourth person added in to that team. Yes, LeBron has created his super teams, and there's been three superstars, three all-stars at least, going on with that. But, you know, LeBron had to lead that, had to bring those guys along to then perform on the biggest stage. Golden State already had guys performing on the biggest stage. Durant just added to that. He never did that for Oklahoma City, or at least put them on the cusp of that. Yes, they got to a finals, but you ran into LeBron, and you see why LeBron was a little bit better than KD. Maybe I shouldn't watch this game, though, because I actually turned it on just like
you're bad luck, dude.
Yeah, because now they're down 8, so I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to
take your phone and turn it off here.
I'm gonna shut that off, so hopefully the next time that...
I got a question for both of you.
The thing is with this team, though, is they could be down by 20, and you still have to watch it because...
They catch fire, and
they're coming back.
Here's
like, I don't remember which game it was, but, like, we were down by, like, 23 at some point, and I was like, man, I can't stomach this. Like, I bet it was on a Sunday
while we were doing our show.
And I was like, I can't watch another one of my teams lose. And I was like, I got to turn this off. So like, I turned it off, and then I got the ESPN notification that they went on a run. And I was like, you fuck. Or I was like, dang it.
I tried to warn her. She's like, I'll try my best to hold back.
I tried so hard to start.
We won't get fined. We only try to be professional. Kevin actually works for ESPN Cleveland. So he does it for his half. We won't be fined or nothing. We just try our best.
So just to give you background, Bree, we've always known that we aren't governed by anything, and we could do that. It's just it's not even more so for where I work. It's just transition into that I do now work for a station that is governed by the FCC, and you really can't say anything like that. It's more so we. The original host of here, Nick Paulus, who also works over there, you know, we just said, we're going to practice professionalism because we want to get into the industry. And then it became, well, I'm coaching, you know, youth soccer. I'm coaching high school soccer. These kids are watching. I'm going to try to still be a good role model. So, like, it's just evolved as time has gone on, and it's become a thing.
Well, trust me, we do Browns post game. I try. It's really hard not to. Like, it's really, really hard not to
swear. Do you think it's easy for me?
No. Like, I swear like a trucker, dude. Like, it's there's times. I just stop talking. I'm like, I was going to swear. I just got to stop. But I wanted to pose a question to both of you guys to get back on
subject. Every time somebody's watching any Cleveland, it could be a Guardians game, a Cavs game, or a Browns game, I was like, I apologize in advance. Let me just get this out the way now. I am sorry for what you're about to see. Because... I'm a completely different person.
Oh, during the games.
Any kind of sporting event.
I told my wife that the first time we started watching games. Actually, like, our first date was watching a Browns game. It was 2018. It was on the road at the Ravens. Went over to her house in Lakewood. And that was our date, was Subway, watching a Browns game, then going to help her get tires on her car. And I was like, you know, as we, you know, got into the relationship, I was like, this isn't typically how I act during games. I'm trying to make a good impression. So just get ready. Like, if you still love me, I really appreciate you. And I love you so much. So thank you. And thank you for marrying me, Jenna. Thank you.
Yeah, you just got to rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
It is what it is. The only thing I feel like the Cavs that bothers me is, like, certain players on the defensive end drive me nuts. Like Isaac, you never know which Isaac you're going to get.
Oh, are we allowed to criticize Isaac on the defensive side? I always thought, like, everybody else, the way they talk about him, he's like the best defender they've ever seen in their entire lives. He has issues on that side.
He can be.
Yes.
But that's the thing. He can be. He is either god-awful, and I want to, like, shake him, or he's phenomenal. Like, there's no in-between, and I don't understand it. Like, he's either great, or he's having a terrible game on both sides of the court. Like, there's no in between. Lamar Stevens can be like that too, but he's figured it out. But like Isaac, I'm just like, I don't know what to expect out of him. You just don't know.
I think we just want more from him consistently.
Yeah.
Even if we need a whole lot, just be a little bit more consistent and we'd be happy with
him. Team, he doesn't need to be dropping 25.
No, he doesn't.
A game. He doesn't need to have double digit rebounds. Just do your job.
Be consistent and knock down a corner three every now and again. Don't, you know,
make, that'd be great.
Make people come out and guard you, then you can attack the basket. If you prove you can shoot the three in the corner, guys will come out, you can pump fake, go by him, and rock the rim with the athleticism that he has. He is so inconsistent. I think Lamar Stevens, while inconsistent, he is more the quintessential.
He's figured it out.
He's figured it out, and he's the definition of the the dog mentality that this team has. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Junkyard Dog chain is there, because mm-hmm. that dog mentality, just doing those little things. And he was so big to come into the starting lineup. Jay, you had a question for both of us, though. What do you want to look at with this casting?
See, with Evan Mobley, I think a lot of people put, like, crazy high expectations for him this year. They all wanted to come in and become Kevin Durant or Tim Duncan. And dude's, what, 21, 22 years old?
Yeah.
I think he's doing great. Where do you guys see him right now? Like, do you like where his development is at? And do you feel like people are putting a little too much on him right now by any chance?
I think right now he's in a good spot. As he plays and the older he gets, he's gonna get better. He's gonna have a little bit more self awareness, which I feel like he lacks every once in a while.
Yeah.
I think the biggest issue right now is our injuries. So he feels like he needs. I feel like he overthinks, because I feel like he thinks he needs to have a bigger role than he truly does.
Yeah, and he's trying to play for two right now with Allen out, and that's a big piece missing. I don't think people realize how big. They maybe undersell how big not having Allen out there right now
is. He's my favorite player on the team. I love Allen.
I love where Mobley's game is at and how it's progressing this year, because he did start to struggle, and you thought maybe, is this the sophomore slump? He's getting better every single game. You're seeing, even if the stats aren't outstanding or, you know, blowing up all across social media that he's had this great game statistically, he's doing what he needs to do. Double-doubles is what you need. 20 points, 10 rebounds, something like that. What I don't like is that, and I think Bree touched on this with the self-awareness thing, is, you know, taking the ill-advised three when it's not needed. You know, going in the post, getting those tough buckets down low. When he does get the ball down low, he tends to hold on to it in the paint too long, pump fakes too long. Just go up through contact and get it. And the third thing I don't like is that, yes, he has guard skills, and a lot of these bigger guys have guard skills. They can dribble the ball up the floor. But at times he does that too often, and he's very loose with the basketball.
They come up right behind him and steal it from him.
And it's very easy with his long arms, with the ball being so far away from his body, and him dribbling as much the way he does, it's very easy to just get a hand in there and tip it away.
As a guard, your eyes light up when you see a big man going down the court. Like, I loved it when I'd see someone center. I'm like, I would just take off like a bat out of hell, and I'm like, that ball's mine. And in 90% of the time it is, because their dribble's just so long.
So high.
Yeah, that's why coaches have always taught big men, don't bring the ball below, you know, below the center of your chest, or keep it right underneath your chin. Go up through contact. Has me turning off the game helped the Cavs at all? I got to know.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, that was a good try. But so I think we'll just leave it right there. Maybe not talking about the Cavs will help. We'll see if that changes the fortunes down out in New York at Madison Square Garden, as the Cavs are taking on the Knicks and having a difficult time out there. We'll hope that it gets better. We're going to switch gears again to another sport that not a lot of people talk about, but we talk about a lot on this show. We know that Bree has talked about the World Cup on Twitter. Bree@Bree_Alyssa. Jay is starting to get into soccer. I want to hear his thoughts on his experience trying to get into it. And the U.S. bow out of the World Cup. I have thoughts on that as well. We will get to that right after this. But if you need some Voice of Land gear, we got just the place, and you'll get that information in this break. This is the Voice of Land on the Big Play Network.
Are you struggling to hire the right talent, or maybe even find the right career? Vector Technical makes it easy. Since 1992, Vector has provided Ohio employers with a reliable process for hiring, and have helped thousands of job seekers advance in their careers. Vector Technical is more than just a temp agency. We invest time to get to know each client and candidate personally. Vector places people in job opportunities that they are truly excited about. Interested in learning more? Visit our website at www.vectortechnicalinc.com to see a full list of our current job opportunities and to find out what Vector Technical can offer you.
Get your gear at voiceoftheland.com/shop.
From American football to basketball to European football, or as we call it here in the States, and the argument between Peyton Manning and David Beckham has waged on with Lay's various forms of Lay's potato chips. It is called soccer here in the U.S. The World Cup continuing. We are in the knockout stages.
Hold on, Bree. What's it called?
Football.
I just wanted to put the debate on there now.
I don't actually debate because I call it both. My lexicon goes back and forth the whole time. I think I've started to say football a lot more just because, especially with everything that's going on this year in the other form of football, I've really, you know, kind of tried to promote the football that I've loved since I was 5 years old. And, you know, we're in the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. All the questions kind of coming in about how the tournament would go. I think it's been one of the better tournaments. I don't know that as many eyes are on it with the NFL and other sports going on right now as it would have been if it was able to be played in the summer. But we're in the knockout stage. We have gotten through 4 of the knockout games. The Sweet 16 is the best way to describe it, the Final 16. There's 4 more to go. Moving on has been the Netherlands, unfortunately. Argentina, England, and France, the defending champions, move on. Kylian Mbappe is just having a whale of a tournament. With the injuries that France has had, that dude can score, and there's a reason why in January, when a lot of these club teams want some of the get back into the transfer window, as they say, Kylian Mbappe is at the top of the list. I don't know if it's working there in PSG with him, Messi, and Neymar. But Bree, I know that you've been kind of looking into it, getting into it a little bit as well. How have you liked this tournament so far?
I love the World Cup. I love it every 4 years. I watch soccer regularly. I'm trying to call it soccer for the sake of this.
Oh, you don't have to.
Call whatever you want.
Yeah, call whatever you want. There really is no debate here. If we disagree, we always understand the other side. So we never get into that.
A couple of my friends are starting to get into it. So I call it soccer when I talk to them about it because I want them to be into it. Mm. As far as I love the World Cup. It's so much fun to watch. I know people have gripe with it for whatever reason. They say it's slow. They say they can't get into it. They don't like that it can end in a tie.
Yet they watch the Browns.
But yeah, exactly. Soccer is more exciting than any Browns game I've ever watched up until probably
right.
The last 3 years. But it's always moving. It's fun to watch. I mean, once you start to understand the rules and what's what, it's super easy to get into. I was talking to somebody the other day and they were like, no, I'm watching it. I don't really understand it, but it's interesting. He's like, I'm stressed out.
The one rule that threw me off was the added time. I had no idea that they added time for when the ball goes out of bounds and they add it up. And it was explained to me. And I'm like, all right, we're almost there. And they're like, they add 9 more minutes. I'm like, 9 more minutes? No!
9 minutes is unheard of.
Yes. See,
9 minutes is unheard of.
I couldn't handle 1 more minute and they added 9. I was like, did you guys know where my heart rate was at during these games?
Do you know where mine was?
Yeah. That's what I said. I related to hockey because I watched a lot of hockey growing up. Yeah. And it's fairly fun. It's just, you know, you're okay and it's between the middle. But once you get to those edges and those balls, you're in the anticipation and anxiety just goes to a whole nother level than any other sport. And I think the low scoring that everyone complains about is why it makes it so exciting. When those opportunities come, it is, and you score, you just go nuts. When we scored against Iran, I was watching at work, and everyone starts looking at me because I'm just screaming. I'm like, yeah, USA, you. And they're just going, they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, sorry, I was watching soccer. I was like, they're all making fun of me. I'm like, dude, this is great. I don't care what you guys say.
Yeah, if it gets talking about it a lot on the show, if it gets one person into it, 5 people, 10 people, whatever, I'm just trying to be here to promote the sport, like I said, that I've loved since I was 5 years old. Not a lot of people in this country have loved. PSA for those that are trying to get into the sport and maybe you're being turned off by the additional time that Jay was just referring to. This is unprecedented stoppage time at the end of halves and end of games. The end of halves, if it's 1-0, 0-0, or 0-0, if people don't know what 0-0 is, when you're talking soccer or football, the real football, 0 is nil, not 0. But if it's 0-0, you see 1 minute added. No matter what has really gone on, you've seen 1 minute. The least I have seen, for the most part, I've seen minutes here and there, but the least I've seen in those cases have been 3 or 4. I'm thinking, what are we doing? What clock are you looking at? What clock are you taking? Like, we are making sure that these guys play all 90 minutes of actual soccer so that any time the ball is going out of bounds, any time the play has been stopped and the clock continues to run, they make sure to add enough time so that the flow of the game on the field has been a total of 90 minutes by the end. It's been nuts. So that's not the norm. So if you want to take what you've learned from watching the World Cup and find a club team, you won't see that kind of stoppage time.
At least this time, when I next time I watch a soccer game, I know the clock doesn't really matter. I'm like, well, there's going to be time added, so just wait to find that out. That's what I just came out of left field, total curveball for me. I was like, wait, there's more?
6 to 9 minutes is a lot. It's a lot.
I mean, what was that thing?
That's not typical. You'll get 4 to 3 more often than something like that. Like that. They gave us 9, and I was like, what?
So who are your teams, then, that you root for?
Team-wise, I like Spain. I like Brazil. But now I'm with the U.S. and Mexico out. U.S. and Mexico are my teams. But with them out, I'm kind of more so just falling for player aspect. Yeah. Like, I love Memphis on the Netherlands. I love, obviously, Neymar and Vinny Jr. on Brazil. Nico Williams on Spain, Raya on Spain, and Sanchez, like, he doesn't play.
Do you follow Premier League? Is that it? Premier League?
Yeah.
Yes and no. Like,
do you have a team?
I follow the Crew. I follow Charlotte, but other than that, really, not really.
Yeah.
I watch women's soccer a lot more than I watch men's soccer.
They're a lot better than our men's soccer team.
Well, yes, the U.S. national team on the women's side is a lot better, because if people didn't realize, if you see the women play and you see the U.S. crest, the U.S. symbol on their jerseys, and the women have 4 stars above it and the men have none, there's a reason for that, and that's because the women have won 4 World Cup World Championships.
Wow,
the men,
that many.
Yeah. The men have won.
Way to represent, ladies.
Yeah. That's why when I've been wearing gear to work while we watch the games, I was wearing my U.S. women's national team scarf, trying to bring some of that energy, because, hey, they play in their World Cup next year, or in the summer.
Yeah.
So 6 months later, you're going to get more of this on the women's side. And sometimes that's even, like Bree's kind of mentioning, it's better to watch because the technical skill, the nuances of the sport are definitely focused on
women's
a lot more.
Women's soccer is so much better.
And that's why I always coached it, too.
I may be biased. I may be biased. But it's a lot more fun to watch.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are just better at it. Even, like, when I tell anyone to teach their kids that they want to watch NBA, watch WNBA teach their kids, because you'll learn more fundamentals. Because no kid's going to go out there and be dunking and throwing alley-oops to each other. So, like, the way a woman's game is, it is so much more fundamentally sound than the NBA. Like, it's not a lot less ISO ball and stuff.
Yeah.
It's way more team oriented, and it's played the way it's actually supposed to be played.
Yeah, women's soccer, I think, is the same way. It's fundamental driven, so you definitely get better examples. And you know, kids aren't going to go out there playing basketball. They're not going to shoot from 30 feet, 35 feet back, just like Steph Curry does. Steph Curry has been able to do that and progress to that point because he worked on the fundamentals. But that people don't get to see that. In women's sports, I feel like that gets focused on a lot more. And I love that because, again, it helps show younger kids what it actually takes to get to those higher levels.
With the men's winning, I seen you tweeted out something about how the women now get paid a lot more, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So in the new collective bargaining agreement between them, you know, it's equal pay. So the men and the women share in, by the men winning their group, or not winning their group, but moving out of their group into the knockout stages, there was about $12 to $13 million there to give out. That now, based on what has been bargained between the men's and women's side, that gets split evenly. So even though the women aren't playing in their World Cup right now, they just made more by the men going to the round of 16 this year than they did in their last 2 World Cup wins.
Good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Combined, they made more in that one
it's
instance.
Insane. And they're the better team. It's insane.
It's the money they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
It's the money, 100%. And it's been 100%. A long time coming, and that's why I applauded. And of course, there was some idiot that replied and had I made sure to report because it was I don't even want
just sick
touch.
Her on her on him. She's a savage on Twitter, man. She's great.
And I felt horrible because apparently I was following the guy, but I think it's probably from one of those follow trains. You know,
yeah, when you follow back people.
You follow back people, and it's been a while.
I'm convinced that like a third of my followers follow just because they hate me. Like, I'm just convinced by it. It is what it is.
I had a friend on call text me today, and he's like, I think I'm getting off Twitter because he was real upset about Ohio State getting in. He's not an Ohio State fan. And he goes, just the Ohio State fans are just coming at me and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, 80% of our nation is not on Twitter. And then I'd say 80% of people that are on Twitter really just read. I'm like,
yeah.
And then 15% are left are probably just the loud, mean people that are just angry with life. And that's all they're there for, is just to be loud and angry. I'm like, so don't let it bother you. You know who your real friends are from here.
Mm-hmm.
Worry about them and set up your Twitter so that when people you don't follow say something, you don't even see their mention. They're just talking to a wall.
Yeah, that mute button.
It's great.
Over time.
I used to do the block, but then I kind of liked the idea of people talking to the wall and thinking that they're getting
so,
to
yeah,
me.
I love to mute people and just let them argue with themselves. It's fine.
Yeah, that's
go ahead.
That's always the best. Somehow we always get off on these philosophical.
Oh, always.
We get off track, but it's kind of helping because the pain still is there from yesterday with the U.S. going out. And I know that
I was like wrapping Christmas presents during that game because I like set my alarm. I was like, I'm going to wake up early. I'm going to get ready and watch this game. And then like we were down 2 and I was like, I need to do something like
that
pick me up. So I started wrapping Christmas presents and I don't remember. I left the room for something, and that's when we scored. I was like, "Should I turn this game off? Like, am I a bad luck?"
Same thing with the Cavs left tonight. Should I turn it off? Should I not even talk about them? Is something going to help tonight, or are they going to come back?
Loss hurt. I wanted them just.
Yeah.
Poor baby Eagles. I wanted them so badly to move on.
Who's the guy who sacrificed his body to win? What's his
Christian
name?
Pulisic.
Oh, man. What a champ, dude. What a champ.
Yeah, and able to come back and play in that game. Giving up that second goal right at the end of the half and in that extra minute of stoppage time at the end of the half.
They're just like the Cavs and the Guards and the Browns now. Very young team.
Yeah.
The U.S. is a very, very young team. And I feel like that really showed against the Netherlands, the inexperience. You saw the hesitations. You saw the two-steps. You saw people stutter step. Because of that inexperience. Memphis' footwork is insane. And there is not a single defender on the U.S. that has enough experience to guard someone like that. There's just not.
Right. And, you know, as I reflected on it, I've started to think, you know, the mentality that the U.S. brought to the game. Again, it felt like they were the better side for the most part, just like they were against England. And England is the only team the only game that they have not scored in was against us, and I felt like we were the better team in that. But the U.S. The U.S. brought that, you know, group stage mentality to a knockout stage game, and that's where the youth played in. They don't know how to flip that switch, but I love seeing guys, you know, some guys that may not get the chance again in 2026 when the World Cup is here, but others that are young players sitting on the pitch at the end, kind of soaking it all in, and the ones that were consoling each other and being open about we didn't bring our best today, and we thank the U.S. fans. We feel bad that we did not come through for you, all the people, all the support that we have gotten. The biggest reason that this U.S. team didn't go further, I believe, than just one round of the knockout stage is because all of these young guys and some half of them that were still going to be – they were teenagers – but we're going to be eligible and probably selected to go to 2018. When the U.S. team did not make that World Cup and these young guys didn't get that experience, now you got to go from a team that you got the experience of a knockout stage. Now you got to come to your home soil in North America, and people are going to expect you to take it as far to the top as you possibly can, if not all the way to the top. That is a big jump to make. It's one thing to learn – get to the playoffs or get to the knockout stage and lose and learn, then next time you get to win. It's another thing when you only lose in the first round of the knockout stage and now people are thinking, well, in 4 years, you should be one of the favorites to win the actual cup. You got to go three rounds past it. That's going to be very difficult and a lot of pressure for these young players. But playing overseas, I think that that is going to more of these players and more of these younger players playing well for U16, U20, U21. By that time, they'll be ready to go. And
what
bright future, just it still hurts right now.
What I think this team, we hope that this team does the most is not even what they're doing on, is it the pitch?
The pitch,
oh,
yes.
Oh, man, I'm getting good. It's what how they inspire younger kids that are coming up. Like, that hopefully younger kids saw this and, like, it's like, oh, I want to go play soccer, Dad. Mm-hmm. And they go and want to go play soccer now and stuff. And that's what you hope for. I mean, that's what Tiger Woods did to all these kids that are now beating him. Those were all kids that were inspired by Tiger Woods. Same thing with Michael Jordan inspired others. And LeBron in this area has inspired others that love basketball and stuff. That's, you just hope that the next generation picks up.
And the beauty of soccer, football, is that I was inspired by just as many on the men's side as I was the women's side. And that's the beauty of the game, is that it doesn't matter which, you know, doesn't matter about gender, because both sides are talented, and even the women's are more talented in our country especially. I was as much influenced by Brian McBride and Landon Donovan as I was by Mia Hamm and Brandi Chastain. So, and that 1999 World Cup, that's memories that they're going to last for a lifetime watching that. I could talk football for hours, and Peter keeps telling me I need to do a soccer podcast. I probably should, but we'll switch gears. We'll switch gears one final time. Bree, are you able to stick with us for one final segment? We're gonna talk a little college football playoff. Jay and I have had some conversations. We felt like this was going to be our first true debate on the show. Will it be? We will see on the other side. This is the Voice of Land, your Browns post game show, but talking all sports here tonight on the Voice of the Land on the Big Play Network.
Are you looking for a career in manufacturing? Vector Technical has you covered. Vector Technical is a 28-year-old staffing firm that has partnered with some of the biggest and the best companies throughout Northeastern Ohio. The recruiters at Vector Technical will coach you through the entire job process and will help you land an opportunity that you are truly excited about. Vector does not add any additional fees and offers benefits as well as free online skills training through Penn Foster. To learn more, visit www.vectortechnicalinc.com and make sure to check out our job board to see a full list of our current opportunities and apply.
Welcome back one final time on this first Sunday in December here in Cleveland, Ohio. This is the Voice Lane, your Browns postgame show on the Big Play Network. I am Kevin Arnold. He is always positive. Jay, audio is here somewhere. I know we haven't heard from him
today. You never
today.
See him.
You never see him, but now you never hear from him because we have such a great third co-host joining us here tonight. That is Bree Alyssa. Thank you so much for joining us here tonight. It's been so much fun, and I think we're going to have a little bit of fun here to end the show as well. So we got the college football playoff rankings today, and after a conference championship exactly scenario that the Buckeyes, the Ohio State fans were looking for, USC goes down on Friday night. TCU goes down yesterday. Now they're still in the playoff. I think everybody was hoping for the Buckeyes then to jump up to number three. So you got the game rematch against that team up north. You don't, the playoff committee director was saying that the conversation of, you know, trying to avoid Ohio State, Michigan in the playoff never came up. And they asked him three different times and he stuck to it. I appreciate him sticking to the statement. I don't believe that at all. Do you believe that, Jay, that the chance of the rivalry never came up when discussing where to put Ohio State versus TCU?
Oh, it had to have come up. They're totally lying if it didn't come up. Like,
it's
if we're
NCAA.
All asking it, they're talking about it. But, the NCAA lying? No way.
Oh, boy.
No way.
That wouldn't happen.
They're so honest. So giving. They love their students.
Bree, do you give Ohio State any chance against Georgia?
Yeah. It's football.
Any given Saturday.
Yeah, anything can happen. And, I mean, you're getting, hopefully,
I'll ask you a different question. Would you bet the money line that Ohio State would win?
No.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Absolutely not.
Neither would I.
Even with the delay of us here in the studio and her on Zoom, That was a very quick and adamant no.
No. No chance. No. I don't make bets to lose them. No.
So Ohio State does get in. And Bree, you were just mentioning getting some healthy players back, I think, can be big for them. And hopefully, I'm hoping that not only health, but hunger is what Ohio State brings to playoff preparation.
I want to see a pissed off Ohio State Buckeyes team. I want to see a pissed off Ryan Day. I want to see a pissed off CJ Stroud. I want them to play so angry that entire game. At this point, I don't even care if they lose. I just want them to play mad. Like, you embarrassed yourself, basically, against that team up north.
I mean, if they're not mad, they're done. Like, I'll tell you that.
Don't come out soft against Georgia. Don't do that.
Yeah, they've been soft. Because
then you just feed into that. I got into it with someone today. They snuck in. How? What team has a better resume for that four spot? And no one who has said anything to me about it has given me a good answer. Well, why play in USC? Why play in a championship? They lost to Utah twice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what I said when someone said it. I'm like, there isn't four better teams in Ohio State right now. And yeah. I don't think any team personally, like in the NCAA, is like on the level of Georgia. I think it's just Georgia and everybody else.
Yeah.
And, but this is a perfect reason why they should expand the playoffs. So then we don't have to hear this and be like, it'll just sort itself out. Well,
you're going to hear it no matter what.
Yeah, you're going to hear it no matter what.
Because then it's going to be the 13th and 14th 20
years team from now, it's going to look like March Madness when you have 64 teams in the bracket. Yeah.
If you really want to keep these student athletes healthy,
yeah,
they need to come to an agreement that, okay, four teams really isn't enough, but we can't continue to allow this to grow because now we're adding more games than these kids are used to. They're still building their bodies, building their conditioning. Yeah, they'll play more games if they make it to the NFL. But, you know, what is that? The top 1% of college football is going to go to the NFL. There's a lot of guys that play college football that are going to play a bunch of games if you continue to add to the playoffs that aren't going to do that, and they're going to have wear and tear much earlier on in their lives that you just don't want to see. Like, it's so sad to see some of these guys have had to go through these health problems, and yeah, they put their bodies on the line and played the sport, but what we know now from medical standpoint, technology standpoint, and all of this research, trying to keep in such a physical sport, physically demanding sport, how to keep these student athletes and athletes that grow into the professional level as healthy as possible. I think that's the most important thing. You gotta have a firm line of, okay, we'll expand, but this is as far as we're going to go.
Yeah.
Now, Jay, I don't know if there's actually a debate here.
No, we'll see.
Okay, I just to give everyone a background, you know, Jay and I had a little bit of discussion on Twitter, but it's so difficult with 280 characters, and you're not getting the tone of what someone's actually saying. So I said that, you know, Ohio State might as well end up into the tournament and into the playoffs. And yeah, USC was out because they lost to the same team twice. TCU only lost one game. In that kind of scenario, you're not going to be punished and losing in overtime by 3 points. You shouldn't really be punished for going to your conference championship and playing an extra game when a lot of other teams are at home. But the Buckeyes, they're not a playoff caliber team, but there are a lot of other teams that were vying for those last spots that in usual years, you don't feel like they are playing up to that playoff caliber level. Ohio State is just the best of the bunch. And yeah, they're going to get players back. Hopefully Smith and Jigba decides to play and he's healthy. You get your running game back, Travion Henderson and Mayan Williams having that backfield at your disposal with both of them available on the field, that could be big. I want to see a team. The reason why I said that they were not playoff caliber is because I felt like the guys wearing the scarlet and gray did not do the scarlet and gray justice. Ohio State has been playing football for a very long time. You play in the state of Ohio where football, American football, is king. And Ohio State is looked at as that fourth professional team. Even if you don't go to Ohio State, you are brought up an Ohio State fan. people question that all the time. The people that are against Ohio State question it all the time. But it means a lot to wear that scarlet and gray. It means a lot to go up against the disgusting maize and blue of that team up north. And to just lay down the last couple of years, especially at home, the way that they did. I want to see a pissed off team, whether they win or not. I better see a game against Georgia that is the best game that Georgia's been given all year, and you push them to the absolute limit. And if you win, tremendous. That is the expectation that Ohio State's supposed to win a national championship. So they still have a national championship expectation. Georgia's the best team in the country. You better push them to the absolute limit, if not more so, in that game, and show what it truly means to don the scarlet and gray at Ohio State.
Well, I'm going to disappoint the watchers. I'm not going to debate you as hard as I thought I was. See, this is where I'll disagree.
This is why Twitter sucks.
Yeah, this is where I'll disagree. I know what you said and how you worded it, and it's on how you interpret it and everything, is where you said they aren't a playoff caliber team. I think when they played the game against Michigan, they didn't have a playoff caliber game. This team as a body, as a whole, for what they did for the whole season, I believe, is a playoff caliber team as a the whole season. Last week or last game against Michigan, no, they were not playing like a playoff caliber team. Are they capable of it? Yes. Are they capable of a championship team? Yes. But they got to get up back up to there. And playing Georgia, if you want to redeem yourself, beat Georgia. Like, no one's going to care what happened against Michigan. If you come back and you beat Georgia and then you get the rematch against Michigan, no one's going to care. It's going to be a footnote of the season. Yeah. It's going to be like when we won the first championship and we lost to Virginia in 2002. I thought we were undefeated that year. And my friend's like, no, we actually lost in the beginning of the year. I'm like, oh, no crap.
Yeah.
No, so, you know, no one remembers that.
Right.
They remember you by your last game.
Yeah. And
winning cures all.
Yep.
And what's frustrated me about this team and what kind of was brought to a head in that game against the team up north was there's so many bad habits that you kind of see teams have, and they might scare you a little bit when they get into bigger matchups if they don't correct them, but you feel like those are easily correctable. But when your biggest fear is a team being soft,
oh God,
and just and just thinking that they can out-talent you, outspeed you, not outwork you, not outheart you. Georgia's not coming into that game playing soft.
No.
They're not coming with a soft mentality. Ohio State, in the next 3 to 4 weeks, better find the physicality, the mental toughness, the physical toughness that it takes to play at Ohio State to play in that game, or else it'll be another unfortunate version of what we saw Ohio State versus Florida, Ohio State versus LSU, SEC just running all over a Big Ten team and not scoring the opening touchdown, and then after that just getting your doors blown off. That cannot happen in this game. That is at least the first standard of that game. You cannot get your doors blown off.
No. I mean, if they come out and play with any semblance of heart, I'm a happy fan.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I feel like, what made me so frustrated against the Michigan game. Not the fact that we lost. I can handle a loss. The fact that they laid down after the third quarter and just, it looked like they didn't care.
And let the team plant their flag in the middle of your field. I know it was talked about with Baker in Oklahoma. This is totally different. You let your rival bring their flag to the middle of your field after beating your doors off at your field.
How many former Buckeyes went on Twitter and was like, I would not let that happen?
Buckeyes.
Yeah.
There is no chance that, like, Ezekiel Elliott, that team, lets that happen.
No.
There's no chance.
Cardale Jones ain't.
It would have been a full-out brawl the second they tried it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And they just let it happen. Like, Baker, okay, whatever. I mean,
yeah.
Whatever. It's Oklahoma. This is the team up north. You let them put that flag in the middle. Like, there's no chance. I don't remember who even tweeted it. It was a former Buckeye player that was like, I'm pissed that they let them do that.
I know Tyvis Powell did. I think
it was Tyvis.
Mike Doss.
I think it was Tyvis.
Yeah.
Mike Doss said something.
It wasn't Trey.
Kieran Conley said something. A bunch of Buckeyes said something about that. They were not happy that they didn't do anything.
There's no,
you ain't going to go and punch someone, but yeah, you push them over at least. Like,
yeah.
I'm sorry. No one's planting the flag on my football field. I'm going to come over there and just push over, throw your flag somewhere in the trash can or something.
We don't condone injuries or anything like that, even if it's your biggest rival. We don't condone that, any physical altercation, or what happened between Michigan State and Michigan in their tunnel. That was absolutely deplorable. That should not be happening. But you should have at least coaching staffs for both teams having to try to separate the line of players for both, because one team cares. Hey, you're not going to do that. Yes, you beat us, but that is not going to be acceptable. It's not acceptable to beat us either. And these young kids got comfortable. They were told that Ohio State always beats that team up north. Some of these younger guys that didn't actually play in 2020 because that game didn't happen, I think that hurt as well. Just like the U.S. not making the 2018 World Cup, those young players.
My dad is from Michigan. He has 5 brothers, 4 sisters.
Oh, boy.
Do you know
your phone was blowing up.
Oh, I just turned it off. I was like, nope, not doing this today.
That helps.
I knew they were all calling to just rub it in because I do it to them for I don't know how many years in the past now. They're like, oh, we finally got them 2 years in a row. I'm like, yeah, just turn this off real quick and toss it aside.
You know what Ohio State...
They still have a ways to catch up. Tell them to calm down.
You know what Ohio State player wouldn't have really let that happen? That would have been Cardale Jones.
Oh, no. He would never let that happen.
Speaking of Cardale, though...
Haskins would never let that happen.
Oh, Haskins, no. Haskins would not.
No chance.
No. There's so many players. Speaking of Cardale, since we talk about high school football all the time, I do want to give a big shout out to Glenville for being the first Cleveland public school to win a state championship. A friend of ours, Dale Davison, his son, is a junior, and he's already being recruited.
Oh, he mossed someone in that game. So bad.
Was that on? You got mossed this morning?
I actually sent it to all of them. This afternoon,
you should have.
I was like, all right, I got to tag all the people on there. That'd be so awesome if I could see him catch it. I mean, he's a big dude. He's like 6'4", and I felt bad. This corner had to be all of like 5'10", and he just jumps right over him, plucks it off his head a good like 6 inches above his head. I'm like, good luck, bro. You had no chance on that one.
I want to see this. Yeah, I want to see that.
If you want to know,
go on my Twitter. The video is on there.
If you want to know what heart and passion really look like, Ohio State, just watch Ted Ginn Sr.'s talk, his interview after the game, and the emotions he had.
Oh, he had me teared up. I'm not going to lie.
And the type of energy, the passion, the heart that his teams have always brought. Yes, they have a lot of talent. That's the first Cleveland Public School District school to win a state championship. And Glenville has always been the closest, because they have brought that type of intangibles, the extra stuff, not just the talent, but the will to get it done. And they did yesterday. So that was cool to see. And shout out to all of the local high school teams that made it to state or made a deep run in the playoffs. And, you know, we'll keep shedding a light on that, shedding a light on European football, American football, basketball, whatever. But we're way over time. And
we're going to do a quick round of shout outs. Do you have any well wishes or shout outs at all to anybody?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, if you want to think about it for a second, I'm going to give a shout or well wishes to my aunt. Unfortunately, I lost my uncle last week to lung cancer. He had a battle for years and years, and he's now in a better place, but thoughts and prayers to my aunt. She's having a little bit of a tough time right now. Rightfully so.
I mean, I will echo that. I mean, the condolences of this show, the prayers are with you. I know that kind of stuff is never easy, and that's where, yes, we escape into sports, but we always make sure to remind people that real things in life happen. Life will always, you'll find a way to make sure you know it's there, and it's unfortunate, but...
I had to speak it, and I just wanted to share, what I said was, my Uncle Frank, he never held back with words. If you knew him, he belonged on this show with us pretty much, but he never held back in life either. Him and my aunt were just always going on adventures. They had an RV. Every weekend they're going camping or riding on their motorcycle, going on cruises, going all over the place. And I just tell everyone, live life to your fullest. Don't just let life pass you by. Get out there and do stuff, man.
I will just say that I want to wish a heavenly birthday to my grandmother, who was the rock, the heart and soul of our family. Yes, we lost her several years ago, so we had more time to get past it. But again, those things are never easy. Her birthday would have been yesterday. So a happy heavenly birthday to her, and hopefully she's looking down, and I continue to make her proud because she's one of those people I wanted to make proud, and one of the reasons why I continue to pursue as much as I can to be the best professional, but also the best husband, the best, you know, upcoming father, best person I can be to everyone in my life, because that's the example that my family set. So I just wanted to say that as well. Brie, any
yeah,
that came to your mind?
Go follow that up. Yeah.
I really can't follow that up, but I do want to say congratulations. Did I hear upcoming father?
Yes, upcoming father in May. Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes, first time, and we are really, really excited.
Do you know what you're having yet?
We're going to find out.
Sorry, I'm like.
No, you're good.
Now you really got her into
everybody,
it.
Everybody is asking us. I think we're going to find out. We had gone back and forth on whether we were just going to let it be a surprise or find out.
Okay.
It's just easier, I think.
Are you going to do a gender reveal party?
I don't know if it's going to be one of these like extravagant gender reveal things. I think when we know, I think we're just going to tell
the pyrotechnics.
Yeah, I mean, Peter, if you want to help put that on, we'll just do like a special voice of Lamb for it. But I know that we'll tell certain people that. You know, either coming to our baby shower or, you know, buying stuff, because we've realized that it's going to be easier if people know who to buy for.
What,
you know,
right.
It's easier for you too, just from experience.
It's easier to plan.
Yeah, easier to plan. So,
I was down at the team shop yesterday, and I was looking at all of the baby's clothes. I'm not going to lie, I was like, I don't know which one to buy yet. I got to wait. So yeah, hurry up and find out so I can get this kid some hair.
Congratulations!
Thank you so much. And Bree, thank you so much for joining us here tonight. We
thanks for having me, guys. This was fun.
We know when we're having fun, we always go over our hour.
We say we're an
this
hour
was fun.
Show,
this was
but
fun.
We're more like a 70-minute show. We have that wiggle room to deal with, and again, that's why, you know, that's one of the elements we're not governed by with having a podcast element. But Bree, anytime. Great. Love to have you on the show. This was fun to kind of have three different people to bounce things off of and continue the conversations and just have some fun talking sports here tonight. So sure, thank you so much.
I'll come back. No problem.
Absolutely. So for Bree Alyssa, for Always Positive Jay, for audio, wherever that essence of the AI system may be, I'm Kevin Arnold reminding all of you out there, don't let anyone ever tell you it's just a game. We truly love you all, 3,000. Jay,
don't talk about it, be about it.
And live life all gas, no breaks. We will see you all next week on another edition of The Voice of Land, your Browns postgame show on the Big Play Network.